Several Sundays in Daniel chapter 3, and the children, and all of us know this story very well about these three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace. They was able to stand. So I entitled this message, How to Stand in a Foreign Land. And as I preached two or three messages already in the book of Daniel, and it gives us a mirror of the world we're living in, of the very mirror of America today. And it seemed like I'm just reading the news and seeing right before our eyes things that's happening in the book of Daniel. It's happening in the very present day that we are living, as God said it would. This is a reminder of us that God's word is true. What he says is going to happen will happen. But it's also to tell us a warning that we might be able to be prepared for what's coming, and for children to be able to stand. It's a mirror, I think, of our young people this week as we think about Vacation Bible School and how that they need the Word of God to be able to stand in a foreign land. And Luke chapter 19 and 10 says, "A son of man come to seek and to save that which are lost." We need to understand that that's what it's all about this week for our children, and also for even for adults to know Jesus Christ. So at Vacation Bible Schools, we look and we see the birthmarks of believers in the Word of God. And one thing is desire to be holy. And the teaching this week and the teaching in the Word of God is a desire. Do you have that desire here this morning to be holy? I didn't say to be perfect. I said to be holy. Also, it's a hunger for the Word of God. If there's no desire to be holy and there's no desire for the Word of God and there's no inner witness of the Spirit of God, you're in great trouble, because Romans 8 and 16 said the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then we know there's a desire to share Jesus Christ. That's where it comes in at. If you're saved, then on these three things, these four things, is a mirror reflecting on your life that you are saved, there's a desire to share Jesus. I wonder about the people that never tell anybody about Jesus Christ that claim to be saved. But how to stand in a foreign land, as I view our Vacation Bible School and what could happen to teaching of our children to be able to stand, because they're already in a foreign land. It's foreign to what I remember. It's foreign to what I grew up in, and most of us grew up in. We're already living in a foreign land. They don't have to go to another country. We're already in a foreign land in this country ourselves. So before I even read the message, before I read the scripture this morning in Daniel chapter 3, most of this chapter, I'd like for us to go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing that, Lord, if you have given us an opportunity here this day, oh God, to preach the Word of God. Father, to thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, the power of the Word of God. Father, in this coming week, oh God, we thank you for the opportunity we may have, Lord, for the hearts of the children of the next generation, that, Lord, they may seek and serve you as a living Savior. There's never been a time, I guess, Lord, in our country that we need you, Father, as much as we need you right now in this hour, Lord, in this day, in the time that we are living, because we are seeing the things in the book of Daniel as really happening in our day as you said it would. Lord, we know the time is growing near, and we know the war is getting more intense, Father. So we just pray, God, that they may be some children that are able to stand in a foreign land, that we might be able to teach them this week. And other churches this week is having Vacation Bible School and the study of the Word of God. We pray that you might be with them also, that, God, they may have that heart, God, that soften up to the Word of God and take the Word of God as these three Hebrew young people did in their land, that, Lord, before they was carried away into captivity. Father, we just pray, God, that the far sins of this service today, this week coming up, oh God, that souls will be saved and your name might be glorified and lifted up. Lord, we need you so much this day and this hour and your precious word. We pray, God, Lord, that you might take the message today, Lord, that you might just overshadow every person that's here, oh God. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you. Amen and amen. I like to tell you this, how to take a stand in a foreign land, because you see, in this country that we're living in, the noose is tightening. Well, you realize it or not, the noose is tightening in our country. And I'm going to tell you, the war is getting hotter. And I'm going to tell you, learn to stand alone. But most important thing is to teach your children how to stand alone. Woe, God says, to the mothers and fathers that separates their children from the house of God, the word of God, and the things of God. Woe to them, because they will not be able to stand. If Jesus Christ tarries, there's going to be a world to face even more difficult than the world that you and I have faced and are facing this day. If Jesus Christ don't tarry, it's a coming. And the younger generation, the generation coming, is going to have to stand and face what's going to happen in this world that we're living in, and especially this country here this day. Here, the same thing happened in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It says there in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, O Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, whose weight was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plains of Durham in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent and gathered all the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all the rulers of the province to come and dedicate of this image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Skip on down to verse 5. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, sorcery, dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. I'm telling you what's going to happen. There's going to be a fire in this country, and the kids are going to have to stand. If they don't stand, they're going to have to fall down. These three young people, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't budge, and they didn't burn. I'm going to tell you, the recording of the Word of God in the book of Daniel is not what he has said back years and years ago. It's what God is saying today. And we need to listen to what God is saying today. Nebuchadnezzar, his great ego, as we see the world leaders today, especially this thing we call the president today, this Nebuchadnezzar, his ego, you know what? He's feeling his own importance, this Nebuchadnezzar, his self-worship image made of himself for people to worship. Every one of them have to bow to him in his image, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the pictures are illustrating now of the Antichrist. Remember what this book is all about. It's history, but it's also prophecy. This is also the Antichrist that will come. And everything of Antichrist is against Christ. Remember that. And the book of Daniel is that book of that prophecy. It's telling us it's what's going to happen. But listen to me. The Antichrist is not here as we know of the day. We will not know who he is until the rapture of the church. But I know one thing for sure. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here and have been here and get more intensified. In 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last time. It is in the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now, whenever Jesus was speaking, now are these many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time or the last hour when Jesus was on this earth. We know the Antichrist is now beginning to get more power. And we see the spirit of the Antichrist working in our country. And we see the same thing here at Nebuchadnezzar. How that this country wants one world order, one world worship, and trying to mold everybody just like in the image now that they want. We see this world, the opportunity we have this week, this hour, is to Vacation Bible School is to plant the seed of Jesus Christ in the hearts of the young people that they might be able to stand. Mothers and fathers, listen to me. It's very, very important. I know a lot of mothers and fathers see no need of coming to the house of God. They see no need for the things of God. But their children, according to the word of God, will not be able to stand. They're going to fall whenever it comes, and it's coming fast. The fury that they faced in verse 11 and 12 of the same chapter. And whosoever falleth not down and worship, and worship that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews now, and that's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. There was men there that set over them. And how we see now that, O king, they have not regarded thee, they have not regarded their great image, they have not served thy God, nor worshiped the golden image which thou hast set up. They have not done this. They was able to stand. that pressure that was upon them. Nebuchadnezzar is a picture now of the old Antichrist himself. Remember, the spirit of the Antichrist is here already. And we begin to see the mold and the taking shape of one world order that's coming. All the world is coming together trying to mold it. Revelation chapter 13 and 13, 14, and 15 shows us this old image and what it means. And it's talking about revelation of that great image. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And to see them that dwell upon the earth, the people that dwell upon the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And that beast is the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. See, image is Nebuchadnezzar, which had the wounded by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast shall be killed. The same thing by not bowing down to this image, it will come at the time of the revelation. It's going to come. People that will not fall down, they should be killed. This beast shows us that old Nebuchadnezzar set up. Same thing as 666. That's the number of man. You know, Daniel chapter 3, this image, the golden image, 60. That's 60. The width, that, you know what, the breadth, that's 6 cubits. And it says 6 pieces of that orchestra or that music of the 666. It's a universal worship. At this time now, in Babylonian Empire, there was a one world order. Remember, there are going to be four world orders in the great Gentile power that was coming. This is one of them. Nebuchadnezzar is the first that controlled the whole world. And at this time, we see that this is really Antichrist itself going to control the whole world. The image of the 666, universal worship. That's what Nebuchadnezzar has done. He's called for the whole world to come and to bow down and to worship him. In 1 John, it says 4 and 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and that is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that he should come, and even now already it is in this world today. Remember, Jesus said it's already here. Now remember, as the end gets closer, the days are going to get darker. The days are going to get darker. The Antichrist is trying to mold and to melt humanity into the shape he wants it. That's what's happening in our country. That's what happened with the leadership we have today. They're all led there by the Antichrist spirit itself to mold everybody just like the Antichrist wants it today in that one world order. The emotional now, the enticement that they went through. I'm going to tell you, it was a great difficulty in verse 5 that we have already read. The great difficulty. Now, the devil is a master of music. Did y'all know that? Satan uses, you know, today the enticement there of music and everything else to win great generations. That's what's happening in our generation. The devil is using that to get a generation right before our eyes, steal them away from mothers and fathers and out of our home today. Satan knows the power of music. There is great, great power in music. Listen to me. It is great power in music. But music is a gift of Almighty God. But Satan perverts everything that he can. And he has perverted music. I'm telling you, a lot of churches today has been perverted by Satan itself. Listen, they call such thing as Christian rock. You know what that says? That Jesus Christ and the devil got together and they wrote a song. That's Christian rock. Is any such thing? I'm telling you, the devil knows it's perversion. And anything that labeled itself as Christian rock is not of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you today in our churches and all about this rap music. Have you heard this rap music? I hadn't heard it because I don't want to hear it. MTV and what your children and what the children in a generation is listening to, the devil knows how to get their attention. He knows how to entice them in the power of music here this day. It's the same thing at that time. They bowed down, and our children is bowing down also this day to this foreign power, converted power of Satan himself through the music system. But they're so their inducement. Look at verse 2 and 3 that I've already read. You know, everybody is falling down. But verse 4 it says, everybody's not falling down. Then Herod come and it hollered out loud, to you it is commanded, O people, nation and language, to the whole world we hear this day. Everybody except these three, and they knew how to stand in a foreign land. They knew how to be different and not to conform. our United States today, I'm going to tell you, they're after one worldism today. Not only that, but one world government. Our whole world is coming to this. The United States, we have what we've done is diluted and absorbed into one generation and the gullibility of what people stand for right and for wrong. We have just dissolved what used to be right and what used to be wrong. And they have dissolved it down into the generation that we know and the gullibility of that. Mothers and fathers, again, it is a very, very sad day in the country where we're living that Christian mothers and fathers, it stands and separates their children from the things of God this day. The government enforcement, I'm going to tell you, it's just like reading the paper. It's just like seeing the news here. In verse 6, it says, and whosoever falleth not down and worship shall be same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Government, the more and more, wants to squeeze everybody into its mold in the very country that we're living in today, saying that you cannot stand for this, you cannot stand for that, and you cannot stand for that. This is our government telling us this. This is the King Nebuchadnezzar that's telling us this. If you don't believe it, just look at television what the IRS have done, Internal Revenue Service has done to the conservative people in this country. They have pointed them out. And I'm going to tell you, under this administration, they have been more of this than all the rest of the administration put together. Under this leadership, it's called a president this day, and the followers they have gathered together do what they want to do. And to anybody that dares to be against this type of leadership we have today. The IRS, and that's only to start with it, that they want to take away everything they can from you and put their finger on you. The United States government today, so you know what? You cannot take a stand against things. They do not like you, and they do not like me. And I'm talking about Christians, because you see, we are a thorn in the side of this corrupt government and this leadership we have in this country. Christianity is a thorn in the side of our government, because we stand in their way of what they call their progress, that we stand in their way. The progress what? To mold and make everybody into their mold, as the Antichrist is going to do at the end of the time. There's no war on Islam. You never hear that out of this thing that's called a president. You never hear no war on Islam, but I tell you what you will hear. You will hear a war on Christianity, and everywhere you turn in every way, he's put everything. He puts people in high office against Christianity in every way that he can, and all of his leadership is against Christianity. But there's a war on Christianity according to this thing, and because you see, he stands already for this great Antichrist that's coming into our country. The spirit of Antichrist is already here that we're talking about. You know, they tried this in Russia because they said, you know, the people that would stand up against communism, they said they was mentally sick and they threw them into prison. I'm going to tell you what, they say that you're sick today. Anybody will stand up against our administration, stand up against what they stand for, they say that Christianity is sick and we're the ones that's causing all this trouble if you try to stand against it. I'm going to tell you what, it's coming and it's already here today, and you better get your kids ready for it because it's here this day. I'm going to tell you, whoa, 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 we better do what we can. I run across this statement by Paul Harvey, and y'all remember Joe Wright. I know that a lot of you got those copies, and I've read this before. The state legislation in Wichita, Kansas, invited this preacher called Joe Wright to come and say a prayer before they intervene into their service. And what Paul Harvey says is that he told God on them, and I believe he told God on us. And here's what it says. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness. And I believe that could be for us today. I believe he's told God on us. Because we know what we represent, the Christianity of the day, of the church. And I believe we will ask God for forgiveness for not being up and standing up. Seek your direction and your guidance. And we know what your word says. Woe to them who calls evil good. But that is exactly what we have done, have it not? He went on to say, we have lost our spiritual mooring, inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the truth of your word, and we call it pluralism. We worship other gods, and we call it multiculturalism. We endorse perversion, and we call it alternate lifestyle. We explore the poor, and we call it lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded the lazy and called it welfare and food stamps in the name of the Lord. In the name of choice, we have killed our unborn babies. And you know what this administration have done to this? We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have abused power, call it political savvy. We have converted our neighbor's possession and call it taxation. We have polluted air with profanity and pornography and call the freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and we have called it enlightenment. Several of those representatives, fury and hot and mad, called this man a blasphemer and an ignorant man. Can you imagine if this was read to that quack that we call a president today and all his leaders of the liberals today? Can you imagine if this was read to them, what they would think about it? Can you imagine what they'd think about it? But it's the truth. And if you stand for the truth, you're on the wrong side of this bunch, I can tell you. The White House and Congress. Just remember, spiritual defilement, verse 4, and it says, then that great herald cried aloud, to you is commanded, O people, nation, and language. And this language is going out today to all people of our country and all the world. It's calling the same thing. It's calling, all do not fall down. All that's not going to be molded will be cast into the fiery furnace. Revelation 13, 7 and 8 says, and it was given to him to make war with the saints. That's what happened today. And to overcome them, and the power was given him over the all kindreds and tongues and nation, and all the, that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, shall be slain from the will be slain from the foundation of the world. Listen, government enforcement. And today that we're seeing this happen today, government enforcement today. The devil does not want casualties, as you may think. He would much rather have converts. And that's what he has today. He has a bunch of converts up there in the White House, converts in the Congress, and converts that put them there. And he'd much rather have that than have a drum of liquor being sold on the corner or drugs, either one. Because people see these casualties, these people are alcoholics or drug abuse, and they don't want to be like them. That don't sell too good for Satan. But he would rather have any time a convert will try to sell what his want to happen in this country. And that's what's happening, mothers and fathers. You don't want to listen. People don't want to listen. They're not going to listen to the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be casualties because of the converts that old Satan has got himself here in this country. And right before our very eyes today, as end gets closer, the days gets darker. And as the days gets darker, I'm going to tell you what, the saints are going to shine brighter. Before long, you're going to know who's saved or not. Right now, you can't tell the difference. But I might not live to see it, but I believe it's coming and coming fast. Whenever it's not for their benefit to be called herself, you know what, this thing we call a president again, he calls himself a Christian. He called himself a Christian. Why? Because that's popularity. They know such thing as a saved devil. But you see, whenever people sees that it's going to cause him more problem to be called Christians, you'll see them then. You'll find out who's saved, who's not saved. Because they're going to be fire coming upon Christians, I'll tell you. Now, we're not going to go through the great tribulation, but I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be tribulations to the saints. And it's coming fast in this country we're living in. I'm not preaching doom. I'm telling you what, because this man here, you know, it throws those people in that fire. There was a God in there with them. I'm telling you, we got somebody with us. We got somebody with us. But as the days gets darker, the saints going to shine brighter, and I want people going to be able to see. And then the faith they followed. What was it that helped these young people to stand in a foreign land? What was it they had that nobody else didn't have? There were other Jews. There was hundreds of Jews. Thousands of young Jews were carried away from in the captivity. They come into Jerusalem and all the Canaan land. They took all the young people and the wealthy, and they carried them out of that country. And they left the old, the weak, and the feeble back there in Jerusalem. And then you know what? From the side of the mountains and the hills, the bandits came and tore that city apart. You remember the book of Nehemiah when they come back in? They stay there 70 years and they come back, and how the gates was tore down and burnt and the walls were tore down. There was hundreds of young people at that time. Where are they at? Where did it mention them? What did these three here have, and Daniel and these three men that the rest didn't have? Well, I tell you what they had. They had vacation Bible school when they were young. You say, that's silly, preacher. Vacation Bible school in a foreign land. No, it's not neither, because I'm going to tell you. That's exactly what they had. I'll show you in just a minute what they had. In verse 13, 14, and 16, it said, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, commanded to bring these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, is it true now, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Because he had already set them up in high offices. Do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, answer, and said unto the O king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. Don't take us long to answer you, king. I'm going to tell you, to answer thee in this matter. He said, I don't have to worry about this, because we have already in our heart said we will not sin against thee. No compromise. Not putting God first is what the rest of them did. We have compromised with sin and watered down our conviction and diluted our principles, and we have followed the course of less resistance as mothers and fathers and Christians in our country. And we have gone with the crowd. And that's the reason we don't have prayer in school. That's the reason we don't have the Ten Commandments. That's the reason you can't have the nativity scene. It's getting more all the time because Christians are following the course of this less resistance. And we're not standing up in our country. And you're going to see it go more and more all the time. Every time, listen, Christian, every time that you compromise your Christian principles, your character is diluted. And you're crippled in that area that much more. The faith that they followed. It was a settled faith. It was a settled faith in verse 16. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter, king, but we don't take us long to tell you. Don't have to think about this. We've already settled it. Now, here's what happened to them. If I already told you, preaching this, they had a pre-captive revival under Joash. King Joash was a young king. You remember, he was a young king, and they found the Word of God. They brought the Word of God, the Bible, to young Joash. And you know what happened? He read it to the people day and night. He read the Bible to them. And they had revival in Israel before all this captivity. The young people, these were the young people, and they heard this. They had a revival under King Joash. The same thing. Mothers and fathers today, you need a revival under the Word of God. Without the Word of God, your kids will not know how to stand, will not have the power to stand, and you won't either. Mothers and fathers got to build into this generation the Word of God. We have failed in this country because we have failed on the Word of God. Today, as I said, vacation Bible school, church, and Sunday school, Wednesday night, are they not important? Are they not important to your family, your kids? They had a revival. They was there. They're going to go down if they don't have the Word of God. I'm telling you, it was a settled faith. They had already had this. You know, maybe in vacation Bible school, the Word will be taught. Maybe some child, whenever they get older, might remember back that this week is coming up. And to come across some great temptation that they won't fall for, because I can remember back when my Sunday school teacher told me about this and about that, what's right and what's wrong in the Word of God, and they built their convictions on the Word of God. Yet dare Christian mothers and fathers dare to separate their children from the Word of God and the house of God and the things of God and expect them to stand in this foreign land that we're living in today? It was a strong faith they had in verse 17 and 18. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that We will not serve thy God, nor worship thy golden image which thou have set up. If not. You better remember the if not, because there's some if nots in Hebrews chapter 11. If not. God is able. Understand one thing. God is able. No matter what type of, you're going through a fiery furnace of all type of temptation. It might be sickness. No matter what it is. But God is able. He's able to deliver you. Have faith in God. He's on the throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God is what they were saying while they was in that fiery furnace. It was a steadfast faith. Verse 18, but if not, King, he has a higher plan for us. You see, a lot of times we may not be healed. A lot of times we may go through the fiery furnace, but if not, he's got a higher plan for us. As the ends get closer, the days get darker. As the days get darker, the saint shines brighter. And as the saint shines brighter, the world will be able to see clearer. That's where you and I stand at, that the world might see clearer. The fellowship that they found, these three Hebrew children. In verse 21 on down to 26, let me read this. These men, they was bound with all their clothes on. It said they was cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that cast and that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of Man. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst out of the fiery furnace. I'm telling you what, they didn't burn. They come right out of that fire. Did you know Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth to get us out of the problems though? He come getting a problem with us. You're going through some problems? Well, it don't mean that, you know, because you're a Christian, you're going to get out of your difficulties and problems. But it means one thing, that Jesus Christ come to get in those problems with you, no matter what it is. He came and got in the midst of the fire with them. And with him, you see, they wasn't burnt. And you see the cleansing of the saints. What happened? You know why the only thing was burnt off of them? Or in their clothes. The only thing was burnt off of them is what the world put on them. Those bonds. That's the only thing was burnt. And I'm telling you, you go through this fiery furnace with the Lord, I'm going to tell you, the only thing will burn off these old worldly things. It don't amount to nothing anyway. That's the only thing was burnt off. And then the company of the Savior, verse 28 it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have charged the king words, changing words, yielding their bodies that they might not serve or worship any gods except their own God. And it says there in Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, but now thou said, Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, have ye formed thee, O Israel? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. He says, and when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon these. You know what he's talking to you today? That's not what God has said. That's got what God is saying today. And he's saying that to you and I and also to our family. And then we have the conviction of the saints, the sinner. And that in that verse 29, therefore, O king, says, I'll make a decree that every person, nation, and language which speaketh anything in the midst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and the house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. This is the only God. He made a believer out of this king. I'm going to tell you what, God will make a believer out of you this day if you listen to his word. And I'm going to tell you what, mothers and fathers might get on fire for the Lord this coming week and see the great importance of something could happen to your child in their hearts and their mind. And Lord, in the years to come, if Jesus Christ tarries, that they'll be able to stand in this foreign land that we're living in right now. Because I'm going to tell you that the noose is beginning to tighten around our nation right now and around this world. And it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And there's a lot of people here this day are going to see this. I might not be one of them, but I'm going to tell you there's a lot of people is going to see this. This song we just sung, you know, I had this on my mind anyway whenever I had this mission, preparing this message. And you know what? I hadn't talked to Brother Orville, and there it was. He had already prepared this, and that's Stand Up for Jesus. I said, you know, I wish we could sing that song. And while I was preparing this message, I want to tell you how the Lord works. I said, while I was preparing it, I wish we could sing that song, Stand Up for Jesus. And there it was in the bulletin. And there it was that Brother Orville, we all sung Stand Up for Jesus. And that's exactly what he's telling us to do. Even this week, stand up for Jesus. You're the soldiers of the cross. Stand up for Jesus. The trumpet is called today for you to obey. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. Stand up for Jesus. To strive, it won't be long. It won't be long to be over with. But stand up for Jesus Christ. Mold and fashion your kids as these three Hebrew children was. Because they can stand in a foreign land. And the kids that you're bringing up today, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, they're standing in a foreign land. This day is not the land and not the country I grew up in. It is a foreign land. Things are changing so fast, and they will not be able to stand. This is the only way, is on the Word of God. I said, woe this week. I'm telling you, woe every day to the parents, mothers, and fathers, people that don't see the great importance to the Word of God and have their children to have this armor that they need with the Word of God and the things of God this day. This week, I hope we know what every one of us takes this to our heart. We might start off a small, but we are getting faster and faster and faster before this week goes. More so will be saved than ever been before. It'll become a song or invitation. I hope this has touched the hearts of mothers and fathers, grandparents today. Not only your kids, but I'm going to tell you, there's neighbors' kids. Not only the neighbor's kid, but you see there's some kids on down the road there. You might not even know that you might get a chance this week that God might run them across your path, that they might come out and hear the Word of God. I tell you, it's not time just for frolic. It's good time for fun, Vacation Bible School. That's not what it's all about. It's introducing children to the things of God and to the words of God that they might be saved. Sure, we have fun. I think Christians ought to have fun. But more important, they ought to know Jesus Christ. They ought to have this foundation. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of these kids can't come unless somebody brings them. There's a lot of homes that they won't be able to come next week except their mothers and fathers brings them. God is looking down as we stand and sing the invitation song.